RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Okay, the fat emperor Ivor Cummins is back for his monthly chat here at RCR. This time, what are we talking about? Well, how about Ireland dropping its controversial hate speech law? We've talked about that before with Ivor. The crypto city in Venezuela, where capital, tech and vision live together. And to see Malhotra's film, First Do No Farm. Ivor, how are you doing?
Hey, great stuff, Paul. Not a bother on me.
Where have you been?
Oh, well, the main place I've been in the last couple of weeks since we talked was El Salvador, which I was never in before. So I was there with the Maverick project, the group that I was in Dubai and Istanbul with. So great conversations, very interesting. That's where I found out about Crypto City and met a very interesting young man, German, Tim, 28 years old, who's setting up this city in Venezuela. And I went then to the Brownstone Institute conference in Hartford, Connecticut. They invited me over. So amazing conversations for 2 days. And I made a new pal, Brett Weinstein, there, interviewed him. And yeah, it was
sort of a rock star encounter.
Oh, yeah, it was great, you know. But as you can imagine, we resonated because he's into the whole philosophy of science and the principle of, you know, good science. And that's kind of my thing, too. And we had a great interview, went through that. And he had a few other little revelations as well, which we might mention briefly.
Oh, no, that'd be good. Yeah, he's an evolutionary biologist. And I think his brother Eric is a physicist. Oh, what a family. Crikey.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're both like mega brains. Eric is even deeper, I think, from what I've watched of him. But Brett is a real humanitarian man. He's got all of that as well as all the science. He's an exceptional individual, I have to say.
Now, just quickly, El Salvador, you mentioned. And who is the president of El Salvador? He's turning into be quite the leader of a country, isn't he? Now, you might not know his name off the top of his head, but he seems to be really standing out.
Absolutely. So I think it's Nayib or Bukele or so. I don't know the pronunciation, but he's been cleaning up the country and he apparently has pretty much cleaned it up. So he got rid of all the drug problems, cleaned up the streets. I was there. I walked around evening, morning. No sense of threat. I polled local people. And yeah, it's just they've decided just to leave behind the madness that they had. But I think a real key point is, Paul, I asked the question in El Salvador to the wider group of 60 of these mastermind type people. And I just asked the question. So if America hadn't dominated the world since World War II, and they hadn't started, I think the last count is around 200 wars they've been involved in, mostly in the Middle East and you know, in Nicaragua and all these places.
200? Crikey.
200 is on one list, but it's at least 50, 60, really. I mean, but maybe 200 is slight over calculation. But either way, we all know it's madness what they've been doing. But they completely dominated South America. So we had the Contras. We had the whole Nicaragua disaster. We had Salvador, you know, the movie with James Woods, where Americans completely turned the country upside down. And they've been sitting on top of Venezuela for around half a century, because Venezuela has a massive oil reserve and the Americans, State Department, CIA, they're just not going to let that go. And also, of course, they don't want healthy democracies springing up in South America and making us look bad. And they've got resources. Yeah. So yada, yada, yada. But I asked the question, so imagine America had just kept to itself since World War II. What would the whole of South America be like and all the basket case countries we mentioned and more? And the consensus was, well, actually, they would have just developed like Western nations.
Wow.
So okay. the whole and the propaganda against Venezuela and all through the corporate owned media is astonishing. You know, so people need to remember that all of those countries we see as like, you know, really down from us and terrible. A lot of that is fomented by the State Department and by American hegemony. And I think they're beginning now to come out from under the boot because America's power is waning, you know, the rise of the BRICS plus. So it's a very fascinating time.
I thought the Americans were always fighting for democracy.
Yes. Well, when you're a I don't know, a Middle Eastern or a South American country, and you hear the Americans are coming to bring you democracy, be very afraid. Yeah. You're heading for decades of martial law and drug gangs on your streets.
Yeah. All right. Let's revisit the hate speech law in Ireland. We've talked about that a few times. I've got in my notes here, has been beaten down again, maybe for the last time, question mark, really?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust these guys as far as I could throw them. They're all just puppets of WEFUN. But this time they have pretty much announced that it's not possible to go forward with the crazy 1984 hate speech elements. Now, they have an election coming up in November, and it's just become politically a bomb because of the popular uprising, though, not because of internal politicians. They're just responding to the public uprising, and Elon Musk and Schellenberger and everyone else is pushing awareness. So, but this is a good, it's a win. They're keeping in some nonsense about adding multiple genders to the protected classes. But to be honest, that's just because they have to give something to their overlords in WEFUN. But it's very weak. It won't really make a difference. But it's still being challenged because it's absurd. I mean, they were challenged on to explain precisely what they mean in law by other genders besides male or female. Simply define it. And they refuse to answer. But they still want to put that nonsense in there.
What is it about that particular issue, gender? What is it about that?
Well, yeah, I shared a while back, maybe I'll put a link you can put in the show notes, to my root cause diagram. And it's just a bubble diagram that shows all of their strategies and how they're synergistic and they're all complementary. But the transgender one is important. It seems just lunatic, but it's a very good way to undermine societal structure, undermine the marriage, undermine the family, to divide people. Of course.
Boy, and does to create, that.
Yeah, that's a massive bonus. Divide and conquer. And just to generally weaken society and break it down so it's softer and more ready for global government. So it makes absolute sense. It's a great strategy. Now, the challenge they've had with it is it's so absurd by its nature that you're actually getting a lot of ridicule and pushback. But otherwise, it's an excellent strategy. So let's not forget that. And that's why it's being driven so hard, that in spite of the ridicule, it's just so good a strategy. And it has had quite a lot of good effect that they will not let it go, essentially.
It's like a hill to die on almost for them, right? At the moment, anyway.
Yeah. Well, so much has been invested and it is achieving results that they're willing to kind of accept the headwind of ridicule coming their direction. And they also know that most of the ridicule that comes against this trans nonsense is not actually pointing at them, the globalists. It's mostly pointing at the activists. So they're not even really getting blame. So they probably just grin and chortle on their private jets as they see the melee of madness that they're creating. It's probably fun for them. So people should also think about that too. These people up the top are laughing at us. That doesn't mean they're all powerful. They are bloated ticks. They're parasites that have grown over the last half century. But we just got to remember that's what they are, and we got to just get awareness out and push back against them constantly.
And do the globalists start pushing back on your politicians saying, hey, you're not getting this hate speech stuff over the line properly. You're getting too much pushback from your people. We don't like this. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah, they'll be coming under enormous pressure, and from the NGOs, that 90% of NGO funding in Ireland, billions of euros, comes from our taxes. So the government are funding all these crazy NGOs working on behalf of the globalists, and we're paying for their funding for them to lobby the government behind the scenes to bring in insane laws. So you couldn't make it up, like, and the man in the street or the average woman in the street, they have no idea what's going on, unfortunately. Again, that's our job to get awareness out. But yeah, they're becoming under pressure. But I'd say the boys up the top, and it's mostly boys, by the way. We have von der Leyen, but mostly boys, of course. They'll accept when something is impractical. They just want to see the puppeteers way down below them making a good effort. That's all they ask, really. And then right. they'll reward them with big jobs in the UN, etc. So, you know, they'll be pressuring them, but they'll also accept reality.
Yeah, and they play a long game, right?
Absolutely. Decades long. Beyond the end of their... Like the Rockefeller generation, John D. had the vision of internationalism and global government and ruling over the ants, basically, the elite, back in the early 1900s. And then in the 50s, his five sons, with the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, brought forward his vision after his death. And long after their death, their sons and grandchildren, actually, are still in this project. So it's a multi-generational long game.
Yeah, I can just imagine, you know, we're going to have a little talk, son. I'm going to tell you a few things about what this family gets up to and what is expected of you when I'm gone. Okay, how's the pushback going on the flood of immigrants? Is there similar notice being taken by your politicians on that? Because I've seen the stories, I've seen the videos. I guess that gives you some sort of view of what's going on. So where's that at?
Yeah, it's a mixed result. The politicians are now talking big talk because the pressure is so high. But it's not an issue like the hate speech laws that really is a clear issue. Do the laws come in or not? That one fell because it was a clear issue and they couldn't support it against the people. However, with the mass immigration, it's continuing because it's default. The system is set up to suck in masses of economic migrants. So they did a bit of lip service and the Irish police began to turn up at the airport, checking the odd passport. And the corporate and government-owned media reported on this. But at the end of the day, lip service. So the numbers per month from the latest figures I've seen have not stemmed. And I mean, I was out last night with my wife in a little Mexican place, and it was astonishing, you know, in Dublin, where I rarely go into the city anymore. And basically, there was us in the whole room.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way it's going in Dublin. It's now, you know, I always hasten to mention, I was delighted with the whole Vietnamese boat people that came over when I was young. The whole of Ireland welcomed them.
We had them here too. We had them here too. Yeah. And they were accommodated and it worked fine.
Absolutely. They integrated, they got involved, and they literally became like the original immigrants to America and to the UK. You know, they opened small businesses. They became part of the culture. And you could say enrichment occurred, that word they love.
Yeah.
This is completely different, just so people fully internalize. This is the opposite of the migration that we had decades ago that all worked out lovely. This is forced mass migration of young men, many of whom bring creeds, beliefs, and a lack of wanting to integrate. And it greatly negatively impacts the local communities, culture, etc. So this is totally different than the traditional, because you know, Paul, yourself, people say, oh, well, America was built by immigrants. And oh, in Britain, you know, all the little shopkeepers and Pakistanis in the 60s and 70s, they all integrated and their kids became British. It's a completely different situation. Mm. We have busloads now at 5 a.m. in the morning. People send out phone videos. Busloads of young men with mobile phones walk out, you know, looking for ska. It's completely different.
I'm just thinking of you and your wife in the restaurant and you two being the only ones there, like you put it. Where's the disposable? Presumably there were others in the restaurant. Where does their disposable income come from, do you think?
Well, they get an excellent package. And again, in that room, I don't know the circumstances.
No,
of most people.
Obviously.
So, yeah. So, but they get a very good package. So again, the corporate government-owned media bleat occasionally since there was pushback about how they're looking at reducing, you know, the benefits back to a normal Irish person's benefits. But in a lot of cases, they get a phone as soon as they come in. Housing, they get priority, even though we have a homeless crisis. They get kind of very good terms for the dole or whatever assistance. And then if you do some cash jobs on the side, etc., you can do quite well for yourself, I guess.
Mm. Go and have a meal. Yeah, all right.
Why not?
Let's go back, circle back to South America and I've got Crypto City here. Has El Salvador gone to crypto? Have I got the wrong country? Is it Venezuela? One of the two, isn't it?
Well, noise is in both of them. Both of them are interested, and it's primarily the BRICS Plus in general countries are interested because of the dollar hegemony is beginning to die. So the petrodollar was huge for American power, as people may be familiar. Now, I think 22% of oil transactions are not being done in the dollar. Now, countries like Syria, et cetera, and Libya and others, when they tried to go to non-dollar oil transactions, they got democracy brought into them.
Yeah, dropped on them from above.
From the barrel of a gun, right? At a color revolution. So we know how it works. But now America is losing its power to do that with impunity. And they're beginning to embrace non-dollar things. Crypto, physical gold is being bought in massive amounts by the BRICS Plus and China and Russia. And you can just sense the movement away from America. But they're still being careful because America is still a dangerous animal to them. So they're slowly, carefully moving away. But that's what's happening.
Yeah, there's nothing more dangerous than a kind of a wounded animal, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Their
caution is warranted. But Crypto City, I met a guy, Tim, and he's a 28-year-old German. And since 16 years, he's an entrepreneur. He did IT and he did all kind of coding. Super smart young man. And then he got in to become a crypto educator and built up these groups on Telegram. And he made quite a lot of money out of it, training people and all that kind of stuff. And then he decided with his father in Venezuela since 2008, who was a large telecommunications company, fiber optic, all that stuff. He decided, well, you know, I'm sick of what's going on in the West. And we talked about that in an interview with him. And he went over to Venezuela. He was there a couple of months, enjoying himself on Margarita, the island. Now, Venezuela is still not completely safe because of the American interference in the background. But they've gotten rid of a lot of their drug people and they've gone over to America. So people have probably seen Venezuelan drug guys have taken over apartments in America. So that's funny. But he was in Margarita and someone said, hey, why don't we build an expat community here? So over a few weeks, he thought about it and he invested in 15 acres on a beautiful island. It's got a beautiful temperature around 30 degrees all year round, breezes, not too humid. The seas are bursting with fish and they've got 15 acres on the beach. And I think he has 50 or 60, mostly German and Italian expats now, businessmen who want to escape the madness in the West and more to come. So it's a fascinating project. And God, I could see myself sitting on the beach there and they're building a business hub. So actually, you could work from there, too. He said it's not a retirement community. They want all these heads of industry to all be able to work together, share ideas in the bar on a Saturday, maybe create new projects, new businesses. So it's, as you can imagine, it's a very attractive concept.
How do I sign up?
Well, I believe in terms of money, it's something like 70K for a large plot and you can build yourself or you can get them to build. So it's very open. There's no kind of trying to get you in like the Spanish property years ago. It's totally up to the person coming along, whether they want to be involved. And as I say, mostly it's super smart business owners who have piled in and they're heavily vetted. So when, this is fantastic. Actually, I'll have to say this, Paul. They have a system like for new businesses, it's like a group chat with money. So if you get, you say, hey, let's buy a hotel. Someone has an idea. And let's say it's, I don't know, 20 million and or 2 million and 80 people are interested. They all get in the chat. Then everyone has to put down their proportionate slice. And the money physically goes into a scroll. It's held. And then after 10 days, if you've still got enough people to make the project go ahead, the money is taken out into a fund. It goes ahead. And if people back out and it doesn't work, it just dies. So everything is kind of like direct democracy. The same for vetting. So if new people are coming, Tim doesn't want to be the person deciding everything. All the rules, all the bylaws in the whole mini city are all done by direct democracy. So people just all vote, all the community people. And it's just, it's a great concept if he can maintain it.
And is he going to call it Crypto City?
It's called Crypto City, and I think it's not really crypto per se, no. Though they will use crypto. I think that was an eye-catching name.
Yeah,
in
no,
the current,
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, so, but really at the end of the day, it's an expat community, and they happen to like crypto because it's separate from the dollar and it's free. That's all.
And they're being accommodated by the Venezuelan government, okay, are they? There's no, like...
Yeah, know, it's
like,
funny
we
that
we don't like
because,
that sort of thing, you know.
Well, now they kind of do, but you're right. You got to be careful. So he did a video about it, and it got 15 million views on TikTok. So it got real big.
Yeah.
And the government saw it and said, what the hell is this about? They checked it out and saw that the owner was not him. It appeared to be his father and a Venezuelan. And that was just for legal reasons, you know, ownership of tracts of land. But it was legit. So they literally collected him, brought him into the State Department or whatever and said, what's going on? And he explained it all to them, honestly. And they began to like the idea. So then they started saying, hey, anything you need, any support you need. Okay. So they like it because it's the new Venezuela. And why wouldn't they like, you know, wealthy, smart businessmen coming to Venezuela to escape the West and bring money and industry? It's perfect for everyone.
Back to Brett Weinstein, because I see here a big crisis to explode in October coming. Is that something that he mentioned to you?
Well, he put it forward as a proposal, a potential thing that may happen based on what he's been watching for years. So I'm not sure he even wants to make it publicly in the interview we did. I'm waiting for him to come back and say, because he wants to leave that piece in.
Understand.
But in fairness, he's very clear. It's only a prediction based on patterns and data. But he just suspects that with the election coming up in America, the anniversary of the October 7th Israel thing. Now, that divided the whole community at the time, the pushback community. It was a disaster, which is a great disaster for the globalists, right?
For sure.
And now we've got a Unitarian community building with the whole Trump thing, and around the world, people want back liberty, and they want back, you know, pushing the globalists back. And it's a very big community that's growing, which is great for us. We watch it. We're very happy. So wouldn't it be perfect to have a crisis emerge explosively around October, just before the election, and divide all of the community
What could
again?
That be? What could that be?
What could it be? And the suspicion is it would probably be in that Middle Eastern area for obvious reasons. And because that area and those conflicts divide people in the West so powerfully, like they did last time. So I agree with him. Let's wait and see. If it doesn't happen in October, it's going to happen sometime. But October would be good timing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. okay, well, let's see what happens. It's not that black swan thing they were talking about in the Pact for the Future over the weekend. They had the black swan mentioned in there.
Oh, it could be, though I think a true black swan kind of surprising everybody would be baked in the cake for down the road. But right now they still have kind of real scenarios that are ongoing that could be inflamed, like Middle East, maybe Ukraine incursion to Russia. So they've currently got some crazy stuff to play with. Maybe the black swan comes when they have it ready.
That's the alien invasion. We'll wait for that.
Yeah.
Okay. And to finish up, I'll see Malhotra's movie, First Do No Farm. He's been on this program a couple of times, and he came to New Zealand for a conference last year that I was at, met him, had a good chat. So, and I watched his kind of, is it fair to use the word awakening? Waking up to...
Yeah.
I know if his father died and, you know, cardiologist, he used to believe in the system. He got that great gotcha on the BBC. I saw that. So tell us about this movie he's made. You went to the premiere, did you?
Oh, I did indeed. I was coming back from Hartford, Connecticut, from Brownstone Institute, stopped off in London. My wife came over from Ireland on a short flight, and we went, and it was fantastic to meet Donal O'Neill, the producer. good friend of mine who made the COVID Chronicles movie with me, and Dasim, of course, and a lot of other kind of celebrity type in the resistance movement, shall we say. So it was a great night. I was suffering pretty severe jet lag and it was hard to concentrate on the movie. But luckily I had my wife who watched the whole hour and 40 minutes, much longer than the usual target they put. It is packed with information and it's devastating to pharma and all the corruption that's going on, including the RNA. So fantastic film, and they're hoping it'll get out widely. Now, we already see, I put it on Facebook, just the link, and said, great new movie. I was careful not to put too many words in for their screening. And it's still up, but two people have reported to me when they reposted it, it was immediately taken down for potential spam, which is Facebook's way of taking down stuff that doesn't technically break any rule, but they don't like it. So the guys are going to have a challenge. So do no farm. I just checked the web address. What is it? It's nofarmfilm.com. So that's what it is.
And that's PH farm, obviously. So
yeah, nofarmfilm.com. So that's the website. And even the website name is trying not to draw the censors. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're still at it. The censors are still at it.
Oh my God. I got a strike on my YouTube account last week and I was surprised and I thought, I'm being so careful. Right, because there's no point losing the platform. And then I realized it was a year and a half old interview with a UK guy. For one sentence he said, questioning the vaccine a year and a half ago, the effectiveness of it, and I got a strike. And I've seen this happening with others. And Facebook is taking down posts in the last 3 months from up to 2-3 years ago. So we have a true memory holding from 1984 being attempted. So, yeah, the guys are not giving up. They're desperate.
Ivor, thanks for coming on again. We'll talk to you in about another month or so, okay?
Great stuff, Paul. Always a pleasure. Bye now.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.